There are weekly meetings, the 38th regular meeting goes on and on, 89, 89.
Then so they go to the regular.
They're regular. Supposedly, we're supposed to have, according to the bylaws, and just nobody turned up in there for quite a while. Anyway. That's our meeting, Dixie Land Company. July 1896. Hey, we got into a typewriter. First meeting. Jotham 1235, Lauren Bixby 625, Thomas Fent.
I see the meeting was held in Los Angeles.
Yes, all the companies were up in Los Angeles for quite a while, and they moved down to Long Beach sometime about the early 1900s, in 1903 or 1904, when the Jotham Bixby Company built the Kennebec Hotel building.
Okay.
Then they moved down to 22 Pacific. I've gone through both minutes, and it doesn't mention when they moved to Long Beach. Jotham Bixby trustee, now who he was trustee for, I don't know, but this July of 86, my granddad died in December of 86. So, you got this? You got to go through? Hey. I don't know if this is boring you.
No, I'm
glad. Anyway. These should be preserved somewhere along the line, but they keep them locked up in a vault along here, so they're pretty well preserved continuing.
Mm-hmm. Here they're handwritten.
Now it goes back to the handwriting. I can't tell you who some of these people were in. Anyway, we have those which are available. Along the way, if somebody along the way wants to look at them.
Fine, thank you.
Okay. Go off about when you get down the communal activities you do not speak about. You as a member of the Harbor Board, commissioners. I've forgotten exactly when I went on. I wrote it down here somewhere. No. I was first appointed in July of 1965 for 6 years, and the second appointment was June of 70. Whoop. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? That was 55.
Mm.
Then second appointment was June 61, and then I resigned. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to go look. This is when July 65 is the first. This is 71 and 77. Okay, now this is.
Will this help you? That's a photocopy from the library when you resigned in 77.
Okay, here it is. Resigned January 77. First department was 65, not around to 71. I got those up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reappointed in 71, and I resigned in 77.
When you were appointed, did the city manager appoint you, or how was that done?
Well, the city charter says that the harbor commissioners are appointed by the city manager and confirmed by the city council.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you can figure out any way you want to, because usually the city manager didn't make an appointment until after he had discussed those fairly thoroughly with the members of the city council, so that he didn't come in with an appointment that he wasn't sure would be confirmed.
And that's true. Time, no, at that time, would it have been Mr. Mansell, or was it...
Yeah, John Mansell. My first appointment was John Mansell, and so was my second. And I resigned in 77, as I said, because they came up with this law that you had to reveal all your assets and Jim Craig and I both figured it wasn't anybody's business, but we had, and we'd been doing our job and enjoyed what we were doing and thought we'd done a good job, and so I left them both of us to say, well, thank you, we had a wonderful time and I think we did a good job, and so maybe somebody else should take it over. But you ask your thoughts about the changes, and I just thought I might bring along, this is the new Long Beach Business Magazine, May of 1984, and it tells about some of the things that have happened in the port of Long Beach. And when Jim and I came back on, the container port was just an early thought. The container shipping, everybody was putting it in different sized boxes. There weren't any standard things in containers. And in that period, the 12 years that I was on there, it's from an infancy of containers. It made the ports all around the world, not the containerization, and that awesome. And Long Beach was very fortunate as far as the harbor was concerned, because we had new facilities, made land where we could convert and put it into containerization. Los Angeles Harbor, in contrast, had a lot of old warehouses along the old harbor in there, and it was difficult for them to jump into it. Long Beach and the Port of Oakland, between the two of them, were able to jump into it because they were both fairly new man-made harbors on a dredge and fill basis. Mm-hmm. San Francisco Harbor itself went way down because they were had old finger piers out there with two-story terminals on there. And so San Francisco had several strikes against it because they had to unload there and then get on a train and go across the bay to Oakland and then go east from there, and so Oakland just stole all the business from San Francisco. But watching the port go, and I look at this issue and this pipeline that we worked on back when I was on there, the Sahara, it was supposed to go back to Midland, Texas, and came under all sorts of things, the Coastal Zone Commission, and finally shot it down, and it's coming back on again. I think it's a very vital thing as far as an oil lifeline, getting it off from the West Coast back into the central United States where it can go back from there and go back up in the upper countries up in here around the Great Lakes and whatnot. A lot cheaper than going down through the Panama Canal coming back around to Texas.
Is that the Alaska oil?
Because the Port of Long Beach is really the one terminal on the West Coast where we've had deep water.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take these big tankers. They can't get into L.A.
Mm-hmm.
at all. The only other they can get into Seattle. They don't have any pipeline from there, and they really don't have the facilities to get up to the terminal. So the Richfield Terminal pioneered it here, and we spent a lot of time, money on it, and it finally blew up, and I'm glad to see it coming along the way. Another thing I've been interested in, as far as the harbor department is concerned, we suffered from lack of visibility for a long time. And finally, the harbor is beginning to become part of the city of Long Beach, and people are getting more and more aware of it. And I think maybe the Queen Mary and the Spruce Goose and some of the other things have all of a sudden focused the people's mind on what a big piece of business the harbor department really is. I'm glad to see, now this is a Chamber of Commerce magazine I'm looking at here, and the Chamber is really getting out in front and helping to promote the Port of Long Beach. It's extremely important. And the city of the Long Beach Harbor, I think, is the third or fourth largest port in the United States, not tonnage-wise. You put Los Angeles and Long Beach together, and they're the second largest port in the way of tonnage, and they're on what's known as the Pacific Rim.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether I mentioned this to you before, but the Pacific Rim, with China coming on and Japan the way it has in the last number of years, the Philippines and burgeoning, and actually Australia and New Zealand, it's becoming a more valuable asset trade-wise, actually even the Atlantic coast. Mm-hmm. And we sit here in a tremendously favorable time. You ask me what I think of the Port of Long Beach, I'm still excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I really am, and enjoyed working on it because it was going through growing pains when I went on there. The people that were ahead of us, Frosty Martin, some of those others, did a great job of bringing it along. We enlarged it, and it's getting larger and larger and more important, and more important to the whole United States. So.
One of the things you always hear about it is, you know, with Frosty Martin and the amount of money that the city had from revenues out in the harbor and all, and the problem with the city attempting in the early 50s the possibility of using that money for uplands. And the litigation with the state and all of this stuff.
Well, that's a pretty complicated thing.
Yes.
That I can't unravel for you along the way, but by the time I got on there, the Mellon case and others had come along, and really the Harbor Department, by the time I got on there, was getting no revenues whatsoever from the pipeline's money. It was all going to the city for the beaches and whatnot, and the time I came on, the harbor was self-sufficient in making money. Still is today.
Mm-hmm.
And they issued some revenue bonds when they had major expansions to come on. But outside of that, it's been a profit-making thing. And actually, one thing about our harbor department, different from the city of Los Angeles, our bookkeeping is different. Ours is run like a corporation, like an independent corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And books kept like that. Harbor Department Los Angeles is lost in the myriad of holes and pockets that come from having a politically run harbor. Ours is pretty open and above board and run on a business. And this is one thing I hope the councils in the future and city managers keep putting people on there that want to run it like a business.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to have it turned over that some people who didn't have business experience with the background that's going to be run that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy with our harbor. I sit up here and look out over it and enjoy seeing it going on, seeing everything that's happening, all the nice things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sort of goes through your letter.
Yes.
And I suggested you talk to my wife on the rest of it.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I don't know whether I've answered
any of your
questions
or
not. It's a rather difficult family to understand, as you can see from sitting here in this boardroom looking around at the complexity of the people. But basically, the Alamitos Land Company, the stockholders of the Alamitos Land Company, from 1888 on, are still stockholders are almost entirely Hellman Bixby.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down, and very few outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bixby Land Company actually is the same thing. The two families, really, Jotham Bixby and Warren Bixby, are the Bixby Land Company stockholders.
Mm-hmm.
And very few outside ones.
I saw recently the obituary for Philip Bixby.
Mm-hmm.
He just died.
He was a grandson of Amelia, one of the. His dad, Philip Sr., was, I think, the oldest of their two, their kids. They had Phil and Dick and Steve and David. Steve's alive and living up in Washington. David is still alive. He's a member of the board of directors of Long Beach. And then they have Barbara, who was the wife of Barbara Thornburg, and Margaret Buford, they both two died recently. But the two youngest ones, Steve and Dave. But Dave's still a member of our board of directors of Bixby Land Company. He's been for years.
But you are probably the only one who has really stayed in the area. I mean, the Llewellyn Bixby descendants.
I'm the only Bixby of this whole tribe that's still around, outside of my grandsons and daughter Jean. And so forth and so on. All the rest of them have blown up and gone. Most of the Fred Bixby group up here, the Hotchkisses and all went up to Pasadena and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the only ones really in the whole tribe that are still rattling around here in town.
Well, you still have your real concern about the city of Long Beach.
Yeah, I certainly think so.
Yeah.
But it's from, enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, thank you again.
Mm-hmm. June, you know, is president of the Bixby Lawn Company now.
And she's president?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We elevated her to president of the Bixby Lawn Company a while ago.
How nice to take orders from your daughter?
Yep. I retired to be union chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
So now I say, yes, ma'am. And what not to her?
Sure, she does a wonderful job.
Yeah, she's a real goodie. And if you know her, you've met her.
Yes, I was on the Bay Nursery Board when she was on that, and she served this program.
You can find out a little bit about the Bay Nursery from Betty. And
yes, I'd like to.